Hello, you're tuning in to Awani Review. It's great to be back. Today's episode is a special one. We'll be taking a closer look at an initiative between Astro Awani and Google Malaysia to help get more small businesses online. And joining me on the show today is the Vice President for Google Southeast Asia. Welcome, Stephanie. Thank you so much for making time to do this.
Well, Cynthia, thank you so much for that kind introduction, and thank you for the partnership as well. We're really excited about the difference we're making together in Malaysia.
Now, Stephanie, you are based in Singapore, and like us here in Malaysia, Singapore has returned to lockdown-like restrictions similar to last year due to the spike in COVID-19 cases. Before we get into more of the serious topics, maybe just give us an update on how are you? I know, how's the office? How's the work?
Thank you for asking, Cynthia. Yes, things were quite encouraging there for some time. Our offices were open at 75% capacity, but to your point, we have gone back into much greater restriction and working from home again. But I know too that in Malaysia, you are in your third lockdown, and I hope that you and all of those you know and across Malaysia that everyone is safe.
Now, Stephanie, I'll just like to get into what has happened last year, and now we are second year into the pandemic. The conversation last year was a lot about preparing businesses for the pandemic, getting them to be digital ready. What is the conversation now? Because it seems like many companies are still in that survival mode at this point of the pandemic.
Yes, you're right. The pandemic has certainly brought about a lot of challenges across the region and to businesses in particular. It is a need to perhaps transform ourselves, to digitize, to come online for the first time. But it is even companies that have been online for some time that are having to reevaluate their digital strategies. So the conversation is quite segmented depending on what the customer objective is or what the business needs to do. So again, is it how you come online for the first time or is it reevaluating your digital strategy? But one thing is certain is that we have become a more digital region, and we have not only come online in greater numbers, but we're doing more online. So these are really important things for businesses to be considering and discussing.
Now, we know the internet has become so critical for businesses now as they shift their businesses online to survive this pandemic. Could you share some of the shifts that you have been seeing in the region as a result of the pandemic and that you think are here to stay?
Southeast Asia has a young, mobile first, if not mobile only, population, and more recently connected internet population when you compare ourselves to other more digitally mature markets. And this confluence of factors in Southeast Asia are defining what I believe is the future of digital ecosystems. So pre-pandemic, we were already seeing internet behaviors that had diverged again from more mature digital markets. Markets where perhaps they were using desktop in addition to mobile, or where they had been connected to the internet longer than we have been in Southeast Asia. And so what we see happening here versus these other markets, because of all of these factors, is a preference for voice over typing, a preference for images over long-form content. But what we see that is so important is that other more digitally developed markets often end up adopting what we see here first. So Southeast Asia is a bellwether for what's to come, I think, globally. Again, it's defining the future of digital ecosystems. So to come to your question, the pandemic has only amplified these behaviors, and it has also accelerated what we expected to happen over a few years into 1 year. And so we saw a lot of this playing out in the Southeast Asia e-economy report that we published last year with Temasek and with Bain. Again, more people came online, 40 million in Southeast Asia, the core six countries, which is nearly double what we saw in the previous 4 years. And in spite of the challenging year, we see that the digital economy remained on track and it will hit 100 billion in 2020. And we still expect it to hit 300 billion by 2025. So when many other sectors or industries had their forecasts unfortunately slide backward, the Southeast Asia digital economy held steady. And that was in part because of some of the shifts that you referred to. I'll share just two of those with you because there's quite a long list. And those two are increased buying online and increased video viewing. So first, increased consumption or buying online. Internet users in Southeast Asia are no longer just online to browse or to communicate. They are actually consuming, purchasing, and subscribing to goods and services. So in 2020, during the pandemic, more than one in every three digital service consumers was a new consumer. So if we looked at those who were ordering food online for delivery or purchasing clothes online or subscribing to a music streaming service, more than 33% of those were new. And the second and final one that I'll share with you is that there has also been an increase in watching videos online. I already shared with you that there was a preference for video in Southeast Asia. Video is really popular here, and it was so even pre-pandemic. If we look at YouTube as an example, 5 out of 10 of YouTube's biggest markets globally, based on watch time, are in Asia. And 3 of those 5 are in Southeast Asia. So again, video is popular, and it has only grown or been amplified during the pandemic. In Malaysia, YouTube reaches over 19 million people aged 18 and older, and watch time has grown by more than 30%. But what I think is really important to take into consideration here is that online video viewers are not just being entertained, not at all. They are learning, and especially so during COVID. In fact, the number one search on YouTube is how to do something. And with a captivated audience that's wanting to learn how to, many people have simultaneously learned how to meet that demand and make a living creating videos, teaching, and sharing on YouTube. Or to answer your question, are they here to stay? The short answer is yes. The research published in the Economy Report highlights that 9 out of 10 in Southeast Asia say they plan to continue using the digital services they started using for the first time during the pandemic. The majority share with us that they turned to digital because of being in lockdown or because they didn't want to go out and about and potentially be exposed to COVID. But they've learned, most of us have learned, that digital is efficient and helpful. So whether it's buying online, watching videos, learning, meeting with colleagues online, we can expect these trends to continue because we've learned just how efficient and helpful that the internet can be for us.
So you share some great insights, $300 billion by 2025. That's how much the Southeast Asia's digital economy is on track to be, $300 billion. In a couple of years' time. But what does this mean for small businesses? I like to bring this discussion back home, especially in Malaysia, where 98% of our businesses are small SMEs, micro enterprises, and conditions are extremely tough right now. Many are still struggling to survive. I wonder if you could share some insights and if there are any untapped opportunities across the region that we may have overlooked.
So, yes, Cynthia, thank you. I don't think that there can be any denying, of course, the very unfortunate impact that not only individuals, but many companies have felt as well. My heart goes out to those who have been impacted negatively and wishing everyone well and that we are on a road to recovery is the ultimate desire here. But another point that you raised, I think, is incredibly crucial for us to anchor on is that small businesses are certainly the heartbeat of our economy here in Southeast Asia and in Malaysia, of course. But I hope small businesses don't feel alone in the race to digitize, because as I mentioned up front, companies of all sizes are having to evaluate their digital strategy due to the pandemic. This includes, again, big companies who have been online for some time. Even Google, a tech company, has had to revisit how we reach our users and consumers in this challenging environment. But I do understand that the transition to digital is often perhaps not as easy for small businesses. So allow me to share 4 tips. Be found, be purchasable, be trained, and be connected. I'm going to elaborate just a little bit on each one of those. So the first is be found. Be found online. Because small business customers are online, a small business's new storefront or a second storefront should also be online. And if I bring this back to Malaysia as well, every month in 2020, Google helped drive over 44 million direct connections between Malaysian businesses and their customers. This includes phone calls, requests for directions, messages, bookings, and reviews. And for small businesses, it's Google My Business that can be very helpful in achieving these connections, again, to being found online. And so I mentioned that Google My Business is a really helpful tool, and I'd like to give an example from Malaysia here as well. So if we take Langit Collective, it's a social enterprise focused on helping farmers from East Malaysia sell their agriculture produce. And so by launching a new do-it-yourself meal kit on Google My Business, they were able to drive an 81% increase in sales versus the previous quarter, even during MCO. So that's Be Found. The second is to be purchasable. And the same e-economy report that I referenced earlier, the e-commerce industry in Malaysia grew at 87% year on year last year in 2020, making it the fastest growing country for e-com in Southeast Asia. And so together with the other sectors, online media, food and transport, and even with the contraction in the travel sector, this added to a net USD 1 billion to the digital economy in Malaysia for a total estimated 11.4 billion. So again, customers, including SME or small business customers, are buying online. So small businesses, sell direct to your customers if that's possible. But e-commerce in this region has been turbocharged by e-com platforms like Shopee and Lazada, or if you're a restaurant, by food delivery companies like Grab. So find a home online, or find a few homes where you can sell your products or services and where they can be purchased. Third, be trained. Be trained for online skills if you and or your employees need it. Search Grow with Google, or search Mahir Digital Malaysia, and find online webinars, training materials, courses for you or your small business employees. Of course, Awani is doing a lot here too. So you have partners who are leaning in and are eager to help. And so note that even if you choose to partner with Shopee and Lazada as your storefront, know that we have partnerships with them as well. So no matter where you choose to sell your goods and services, there's a skilling program for you. And the final tip that I would offer is to be connected. There are amazing digital tools that help employees communicate with one another, or tools that help businesses connect with customers in secure, safe ways. And Google Cloud is helping some of those businesses in this space. And I'd like to highlight KPJ Healthcare in Malaysia, the largest private healthcare provider. They've adopted Google Workspace, and they've been able to continue serving their patients through its network of 28 hospitals nationwide, allowing for meetings with patients to take place virtually with Google Meet and handling data remotely and securely. So just to wrap this all up, I would, yes, again, agree that the pandemic has certainly brought challenges, especially to some SMEs. But the pandemic has also shown us that customers are online, they're buying, that the sea's digital economy is resilient, and the entrepreneurial spirit of Malaysians is very much alive. So be found, be purchasable, be trained, and be connected, all online.
That's really good. Thank you for summing it up, Stephanie. I'd like to touch on another aspect of the digital economy, which is talent and digital skills gap. Even during pre-COVID era, there was already a considerable digital skills gap, and now it's the gap is widened all the more as we work and live online. So I'd like to ask about Google's efforts in equipping people with the right skill sets, and what are those skill sets that are needed for the digital economy?
Cynthia, you highlight something that is incredibly important to us, and quite frankly, to the web overall, and that's inclusivity. Throughout the crisis, Google and Google.org, which is our philanthropic arm, have stood with our communities and with our customers, but especially underserved communities, small business owners and micro entrepreneurs. and we'll continue to stand with them as we shape the recovery together and rebuild for a stronger future. And so even before the pandemic, as you allude, women business owners, micro entrepreneurs, and communities outside major cities were disproportionately affected by a digital divide. There was limited access to training and opportunities compared to the metro areas. But we want to ensure that Google's efforts are inclusive and that they will help even the most vulnerable communities get the support that they need to participate in the digital economy and to close the digital divide, especially in this post-pandemic world. So we've done a few things, but first to highlight that we committed to training 3 million SMEs in ASEAN by 2022. And for inclusivity, we have partnered with the Asia Foundation to train 200,000 workers from marginalized communities as a part of this commitment. And again, this includes entrepreneurs, underemployed youth and women, all to help minimize the impact of the pandemic. As of March, 53,000 people have completed their training, and 70% of the beneficiaries identify as female, and 74% have a high school degree or less. If I bring that to Malaysia, it is the International Youth Center and Startup Malaysia on a local basis that is implementing this for us. And they will utilize part of the 3.3 million funding that we put forward to develop digital literacy and training modules to create a more inclusive digital economy. We expect 15,000 Malaysians from underserved communities to benefit, including women-led small and micro businesses and underemployed youth and people with disabilities. So the economy report again found that urban and rural divide existed, it still exists, but it is closing somewhat in Southeast Asia, digitally speaking.
Okay, we've spoken about how Google is helping small businesses and the underserved communities, but I also know that Google is doing a lot of work to support publishers and the news industry, like us here at Sarawani. We have a great partnership going on. Can you tell us a bit more about these efforts and how does that play a part in building Southeast Asia's digital economy?
Thank you, Cynthia. I joined Google from the publishing industry. I was with a large news publisher in the United States before joining Google. And the news industry is personally very important and incredibly significant to me. So I see our partnering with publishers not only important for the growth of the Southeast Asia digital economy, as you allude, but that is also important to the role that quality journalism plays in society. And there are four areas of partnership that I would like to highlight. The first is helping readers of news or viewers of news actually find news on the web. So the way news is consumed has changed. So when readers and viewers come to the web to look for trusted news or their favorite sources, we help them find it. So we send 24 billion visits to news websites globally every month via Google Search, Google News, or YouTube. So again, helping readers find news online. The second is partnering with publishers and providing technology where it's needed, whether it's in advertising or in the newsroom, so that journalists can focus on what they do best. And that's quality journalism. So if I take technology first in the advertising area, our advertising platforms support and power many news organizations' digital advertising business. And this helps publishers of all sizes make money online. So again, it's our technology that in many cases helps serve up the advertiser to the publisher's viewer or reader of news. And in 2020, with the pandemic, we knew that publishers were also impacted negatively by COVID. So we waived the ad serving fees on Google Ad Manager, which is, again, the technology that serves this ads, for 5 months. And this benefited 700 news publishers globally, but importantly to me and to all of us, 150 in Southeast Asia alone. If I also think about this technology for the newsroom, we have deployed newsroom training at least since 2015. We have trained more than 87,000 journalists in person. Of course, that was pre-pandemic, and more than 418,000 have been trained online through our GNI or Google News Initiative Training Center. And in Malaysia, we've trained close to 2,000 journalists since just September of 2018. And again, this is all about how to use tech in the newsroom, whether it's how to incorporate data into reporting or to use verification skills. And the last thing I would like to highlight is our partnering with publishers to test and experiment. This is also under the Google News Initiative, but we do have programs like the Digital Growth Program, where we're helping news companies build alternative revenue sources. And this includes new ways of thinking about subscriptions. And this effort complements tools, again, that we're enabling in terms of new forms of monetization, like Subscribe with Google. So helping readers find news, technology, whether it's through ad serving or newsroom, and helping publishers test and experiment to find the best revenue models. So Google's committed. We want to help publishers succeed because we're all working toward a common goal of a sustainable, innovative, and diverse news industry. And this is why collaboration, such as the one that we have with Astro One, is just so meaningful to me and to Google across the region.
Thank you, Stephanie. And that's great that we have this partnership going on. Like you rightly mentioned, it has been a tough year for not just businesses, media industry as well. And now Malaysia is in its third lockdown, which means for many companies, a return back to working from home, juggling multiple priorities. Just wanted to get your thoughts about leading a company such as Google in Southeast Asia, working across the region. How do you pull your team through this crisis? And what are some of the unique challenges that you face as the leader?
You know, Cynthia, for a long time, I felt quite selfish saying this as a place to start. But I think looking after yourself. If we use the travel example, and if we were on a Malaysian Airlines flight or an AirAsia flight and the safety announcement was playing, we would hear them share with us, hope it would never happen, that should an oxygen mask fall, to put it on yourself first, and then put it on those you may be traveling with if they need assistance. And I just think that this really well represents that we have to do a self-check-in and look after ourselves, because if we're not in the best place that we can be to look after others, we won't deliver what we want to the team. So first, I just think it's important, look after ourselves, but near simultaneously, listening to the team, understanding the challenges that they are facing, and in that same breath, support their mental health and their well-being. This should always be the case, but I think it is especially important during these uncertain times. If I think about some of the things that we have done at Google during the pandemic, we have looked at our policies and ways that we could practice or make it easier for leaders to practice some of these things. And just a couple of examples, we've established some global reset days where we say, hey, take the day off, use it for your well-being. We've also introduced no meeting days or no meeting weeks. And we've also compiled lots of resources to help those who may need it in terms of well-being and mental health, and also empowering people and helping them feel okay, raise their hands, and to openly share what they may need. Now, I know that some of these things may be easier to do for a global company, such as reset days or a no meeting week or resources. But if we think about the spirit of these things, it is, again, about supporting those on your team, their mental health, their well-being, and just finding the ways that you can do that, even if you're a small business. I would also say do our best, or I try, and as a company we try as well, to foster productivity at home. As you mentioned, third lockdown in Malaysia, that takes a psychological toll, I know. But thinking about the business, ensuring if it's possible to have the technology at home that allows individuals to be productive, it may in some cases be an expense up front for businesses, but it pays off in terms of productivity over the longer term. And then getting to the heart of things during the pandemic as a leader, I think two incredibly important things. The first is communicate some more. And so, yes, we're all at home, so it's important to communicate on goals, to communicate on our progress against those goals, to celebrate progress, to talk about business performance, where we are and what we need to do, but to also communicate in the sense that we need a sense of community. So having all hands that aren't just about the business, but celebrating one another, acknowledging this journey that we're all on, and acknowledging that it can be challenging. Also ensuring that we have smaller group meetings and in one-to-ones, and then also communicating about COVID itself, what's happening, what may happen. We created a hub of information at Google, and since the pandemic, it's been accessed more than 6 million times. So we know that this information is in high demand. And the last thing I would say that I have attempted to do to keep the team together and focused, and I think it's probably one of the more important things, is to keep the team anchored on purpose. There is a lot going on around us, and yes, it's challenging, but why are we here? Why is each person at any team or any company in Malaysia in their role? And that's our purpose. And for us at Google and the Southeast Asia team, it is to improve the lives as many as possible around Southeast Asia and in Malaysia. And so when we anchor all of our goals and all of our progress on how we're doing that, it keeps us motivated, it keeps us centered, and it allows us to maybe filter out where we can some of the noise around us, because purpose can drive us.
All right, that's great stuff, Stephanie. Thank you for sharing. And we look forward to more great work that Google is doing in Southeast Asia. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for taking time to be on this show. You've been watching I Want to Review with me, Cynthia Ng. We'll see you again in the next episode.